So the poor you'll always have, but me never. You said that. The poor-minded conscious individual you'll always have by the fear that he's got to what? Live without nothing, or don't want to share, or feel threatened that he can delay the payment of all his obligations right to the last minute, and not make the effort to what? Generate the consciousness. You say to yourself, as I say, you have to live what you say. Try it for once. You're willing to pay a bill ahead of time and go out and make that effort. You'll be surprised what a transformation it does to your whole financial health. There's a biological health where you eat on time. There's a financial health where you pay your bills ahead of time.
If you get the money. I'm talking about getting the money to pay it ahead of time. Or creating the need that will create the channel to bring it to you so you can do that.
My friend, what do you think we're doing? When the moment you start thinking that way...
Oh, I see what you're thinking.
Do you punch the clock or you punch customers? The day you start punching customers, you're a better man. As long as you're punching the clock, you're freaking out, right? The same is true of him. Same is true of her. Stop punching the clock. Punch the customers.
Why aren't you a punch
customer? Punching the clock is looking for paycheck at the end of the week.
Yeah.
In some company. Punching customers, everybody's walking for paycheck.
Oh, okay.
Then this society is not designed for punching the clock. Russia is designed for punching the clock. If I was living there, I'd say, hi, comrade. I said, no, everybody in time. Here in this country is punching customers. Even Mr. Reagan is setting up tax reform for punching customers, not punching the clock. Why? Because we are a competitive society. The journey from the testicle to the ovum, when the sperms were released, that's competition, that's democracy, that's capitalism. Communism is a consolidation of the sperms and the testicles. Nature's own genetic laws are politics. And non-profit society is the bombing of the sperm and ovum. You call them churches or charitable organizations. Everything belongs to God and nothing belongs to you.
Mm-hmm.
And democracy, some is for you and some is for your friends by exchange. In communism, everything belongs to the state, but it don't give a damn what you do with it. So it's like a man living in a communist country. The government owns the cow, and they don't care what you do with the milk. But don't end up having the cow missing. Well, they're nearly to the cross for the lost cow. In democracy, the cow belongs to you. But you don't have a right to sell the milk because the government will tell you where and what to do with your milk. And in the church, the cow belongs to God and the milk belongs to God. You don't give a damn if you don't drink it. That's non-profit society. The cow belongs to God, the milk belongs to God, but you don't give a damn if you don't drink it. So what are you supposed to do in a church? Drink the milk. But you can't own the cow. You don't own the milk. But you can drink it. You can drink it. That means what? You will not starve as long as you drink the milk. But don't say you own the cow and you own the milk. Because it all belongs to God. In democracy, punch the customer. Because every time you punch the customer, you're selling milk. The cow may be yours, but the milk is not yours to sell until you punch customers. And the government takes their share of how much milk you sell. In communism, the cow belongs to the state. They don't care what you do with the milk. Buy it, sell it, drink the way you drink it up. As long as you don't end up having a lost cow, you are not liable. So, you see, each system has its value. So if you live in this society, learn to develop the attitude of punching customers to satisfy your pocketbook.
It seems like the first two experiences there, or the first two places, are ownership, and the final one is an experience. Because you're tasting the milk and not worried about what's owned and what's not owned.
Exactly right. So this avenue joy is God-realization, and the other two are involved in who owns what and does what. And there's been the two agony of the state owning it, and you owning it and not having the right to sell it.
You don't have time to enjoy it.
You don't have to enjoy it once it's comfortable.
Someone else is drinking it.
Because old age pension laws and all of the Social Security is shifting from 65 to 75. Who the hell wants to be 75? Sure, you might as well go punch customers and end up having money to be enjoying your life. Democracy provides you the opportunities to fulfill your wishes. And your pocketbook health is based on bills. Every man has to pay a bill. Poor man, rich man, owner. But how you pay the bill is where the anguish is. And if you set up the condition of thinking to act it, then the supply flows. Jesus set up his own thinking for his own supply. And greater things shall you do, son. Keep doing. Keep going better and better than me. Why? Because it's going to come back. Even I'll keep praising me for helping you thinking better. He did that within his own frame of consciousness. We didn't realize how great it was until we start praising him for, man, he made me great. He gave me the drive. And by the same token, to pay your bills ahead of time, and some to spare and some to share, is a dynamic process of setting things in moment. Because if you pay somebody ahead of time, which they didn't expect in the first place, what it does to their business?
It enhances their business. They have more capital to deploy.
To go out and do what? Pay their bills.
Uh-huh, ahead of time.
So what's going to happen in the windfall?
Everything
gets
more share.
See, that's what we're talking about. Pocketbook help is that kind of a process.
All it is movement. As long as you're shuffling the cards or you're shuffling around, the same thing is there, but it's a movement.
Right. And biological health is nutritional timing. It's all timing. Now, then it comes to relationship health. You have to do with temperature.
Health of the body and health is associated with, again, hanging on and stopping the process of. It just
happens. So when you relate with people, you're relating in temperature. Hot relates with hot or solid. So we say fire relates good with earth. And air relates good with water. Fire and water are going to be in conflict. Air and earth are going to be in conflict. You're talking of temperature now. Air is a temperature condition. Hot is a temperature condition. Water is a temperature condition. Earth is a temperature condition. And these are the four qualifications of birth signs in reference to your relationships with people. So if you want to have a healthy relationship, you have the option of relating in the temperature range.
Astrologically, though, it's such a combination of all the elements. What you lay out seems to be more something one could go with, you know, like what time of day the rising sun.
I have to go truth out of myself. If it didn't, I wouldn't be making breakfast.
You know, that's interesting. And you, what you're saying about relationships leads to a really interesting thing. Astrology is a temperature, often a temperature relationship.
Astrology gives you your relationship guidance. Astrocartography gives you your pocket book guidance, where to go, attractive financial flow. And solar nutrition gives you your health guidance. One time a day, put the food in.
Excuse me, so you think there is validity in the astrocartography?
Oh, yes. When I was in Canada, I fell out of the building and broke my bone, and I was getting well. The doctor said to me, son, you have to go back to a warmer climate because the bones are broken. The colder, this region is bad for you. So I decided to do my own version of astrocartography in those days. And ended up on the continental U.S. in a little town called Houston, right there by the Gulf of Mexico. And I didn't know what Houston was until I drove down there and got to the place.
You've never been there?
No. And then when I arrived, the city ended in a street called Shepherd and Richmond. And I met a man having a little real estate office right there. His name was Hines Real Estate, and he was selling acreage all along the whole corridor down the road for miles at $500 an acre, and he had big blueprints drawn up in his document telling how wonderful this field here is going to be developed. Me and my buddy listened to him. My buddy was Jewish, and the guy Hines was Jewish, you know. And me, I'm a Chinese Jew, I work 6.5 days a week. Well, I only work six. So between the three of us, we all argued for how you're going to squeeze a penny out of this. And he said, come on, brother, this is the best thing you could ever happen. You come, and you come into the living it. And I listened to the guy, and he finally said, you think it over. Turns out this Mr. Hines is the architect and designer of the whole doggone, you know.
Oh, he's got the penthouse and all the buildings there.
Today, a piece of land, this square foot is $500. He became so rich and famous. Now, you may say we miss the couch. No. I look at this way. I went to work and did a construction line testing right out of Houston, Texas. That's how I got into the gas line. Thing just fell into place, and where I live and have my clinic is in the dead center, one stone's throw from Mr. Hines' most fantastic, latest architectural dream. And that's where I'm living, in the midst of it all. But I'm not owning anything, I'm renting it. No, I'm just renting it, and in the building that he owns, that he's using off as a tax write off.
And they keep on saying they're going to tear it down, and they never do. It goes on and on.
They need it as a tax write off all around their building. So that was the comedy, the whole thing right there. Not that thing. But that's what I mean. Astrophotography works. That's what the pocket book helps.
Change your life and you move to a new place. As long as it's the right time and the right place.
So we're entitled to it because we have to survive in this environment. So we have to apply the laws. Not to be afraid of them, just apply them and work with it. And it starts to show up. When you apply it, it shows up. The idea is that you can live what you see. Without the fear, by going there. But you have to clean up this body. This is why I say cleanliness is next to godliness. I would say this, synchronous balance is unified flow. That's the real way of looking at objectively, scientifically. The more you have a synchronous balance with your chemistry, the more you would have an environmental unified flow with your environment. The ecology and the environment will unify itself with you. Yogananda may put it in his way, I'm in the right place at the right time for the right experience. And the experience is neither good or bad. It's just an opportunity to test my love. And that was his way of saying it. Which is very, very valid, because if you're growing up in an environment with self-doubts, this will gradually erase the self-doubt and give you strength to cope. I am in the right place at the right time for the right experience. And the experience is neither good nor bad. It's the opportunity for me to experience love. And it's a fantastic reinforcement. You may say it's a mantra or an affirmation, but it's a verbal statement as to your mode of operation. How you want to act, the way you say it to yourself. And that is your help. The olden days, it said, it used to go like this, it has been said, it is done, so be it. And that's what the chronicles used to do when they took the message to the king, and the king gave an ultimatum. And he says, attack! And then boom, they blow the horn, and then the big herald gets up and says, it has been said, it is done, so be it. And now all the troops gather up and they start attacking. The king ain't going to back up now, even if his throne is going to fall apart.
He's crying what he said, opening his big mouth.
Yeah. But this is a funny phenomenon, and you put it in a position, though. You really don't live what you say until you're put in a position to regulate society in some form or other. Then you're put on the front line to commit. A man who's made a king or a representative of any group of people, they have many self-doubts as to his behavior and conformity or not. But when he has to make a decision, he weighs that decision a lot in his brain to know that he's going to have to live what he says. So, even great kings and queens, though they love their loved ones and know they will do their best to save their loved ones, they have to pass sentence or judgment. And we have a good example of that when King Solomon confronted the woman who claimed the baby was hers and another woman was claiming it. So how can he decide which mother owned the baby without making a wrong decision and be liable for to be accused for favoritism?
That's one when he's going to divide the baby.
Yeah, take a sort of cut in half and give each one half piece of one half they like. That tells you right now, mother, you're just your child. All right, this is your half. That's your half. And the real mother of the child would surely be the one to save the life of the child versus the false mother. Mm-hmm. It, what would be the trick is both running up and saying, no, 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 no.
I think you're thinking that.
That would be the real trick. Then each one would be looking at it and saying, are you serious? You're giving me my chance. Yeah, I'm giving you. You're giving me my chance. That would be the conversation. So then let's raise it together. That would be the embassy. That would be the real commune action.
Two mothers are better than one, I guess.
That would be what the mistake in the silo that the computer didn't go off, right? Instead the bomb is flying every day and everybody's silo is empty. You gonna trust me without any weaponry? Yeah, you gonna trust me?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Right. Let's not grow wheat. Not only our forests are growing so we can eat. That would really put everybody to work growing food to survive. See? Well, you got to get to that point. Are you sure?
It's a common trauma.
Because that every human being has had some food, something. I had an idea a long time ago. Is the individual in the country that he's born in is assigned 1 acre of land from birth to death.
That happens in Harvard. I think that actually happens in Harvard.
Could be.
One of those Netherlands countries do have property for their whole life.
Yeah, you see, and you give the land to the people in the assigned division of the land in numerical order, and it's 1 acre. And it's a sign. That doesn't say you can't go to other areas and buy and sell and trade in land. So this 1 square acre is yours from birth to death. And you have options of building government-sponsored homes to build and establish your credit. And they will help you build a home after the models you choose. But it's yours to own, pay for, and defend it. That doesn't deprive you from going to other areas to work or trade if possible want to sell it. But you cannot sell this one, and this cannot be passed on to no offspring. It is yours to use, and if you have offspring, they will get their little acreage as a recorded citizen of the land. That to me would eliminate the fear of unemployment and the fear of having to punch the clock in order to gain self-dignity for work. Because the individual will build his own home, his own lifespan, and nurture his own. And then his trade abilities or capabilities will grow, and he can fit into any kind of function he wants. But he's got the dignity of living in a place. The biggest fear man has is a place to sleep at night. Where do you go at night when the light goes down in order to keep the imaginary rain or the bark away from your skin? That's the fundamental fear of man. What does he do in the darkness? In an open sky? Even if you walk out in the woods and you're a good woodsman, you're still looking for someone.
Shelter.
And that's basically where all wars stem from. Consolidation of the individual to survive at the expense of the environment. So he's fighting what? To localize as much land to give him security. Simply because he feels threatened at night, male or female or child, is threatened at night when they sleep. The biggest vulnerability is sleep. You couldn't be any more vulnerable than you sleep. Because you have no way to say who you are, what you are, let alone to leave yourself exposed to the weather and get sick due to negligence or lack of understanding. When you come this way to look at yourself, the option and the right to grant this should be the government's main concern of the people. That to me has more to offer than all the other methods of trying to make you work and paying some tax.
Mm-hmm.
and then you're not able to, to have a place to live decently. Yeah.
Which you make one feel loyal to the country.
And not only that, no one would attack a country like that if he knew that every man could defend his little plot of land. He becomes a national soldier right away, national defense. Who wants to fight a 200 population, 300 million population? Then they have nothing to lose. Because they all, you can't even coerce them or make them fight and go against the government, because why? There are no deficits there, they're all going to be owning something, so who gives them the opportunity to own is their own country. So nobody's going to turn and become a traitor to their own country, that give them the right to live. The reason why men are traitors or spies are like, they don't have something to fall back on. It's not the quantity of money, it's because they never got any recognition to start off with anything. Then they end up doing it for the recognition. My watch must have stopped.
You're wearing it on the other hand again, eh? I'm just in here enjoying, right? What do you want to do?
I don't know what.
We're going to go to Bob's Big Boy or something? Or is it, what is tonight? Saturday? They're open late. I'd like to take you into town afterwards. No problem about that. Go invade Bob's.
Every time tonight, I'll be the third night. And it's 6 times 11 left.
It keeps growing.
The first night I went in there, I had 1 over. And yesterday, I had like 5 over. Today, I'll have about 9 over.
What's funny is that one night we were both in there and didn't know it. We both went to Boston. I was even looking. You know, I thought maybe Melissa did not. We were there, or either she had just walked out, because I remember getting there by 8:30, and she said she was there at 8:30. I could definitely get my mother married very easily.
Yeah, we have no class two tomorrow.
That's right.
So that really puts you on the line. Unless you have a class
one
already. The class two is more specific.
Technical.
Because it needs to be more specific.
Yeah, we jumped the gun and had a class 3 of that about a year ago. So we're back at class two. You notice no one's asked to do class three again. We're still stuck in class two. You might as well have been teaching the wall. No, I guess there was something.
Well, I have some data I need to type up. It's a one of print up. Eventually, so it'll be available to be in books in
class four.
Class four?
Four. Is that where these reactive minerals you mentioned tonight come in?
And what foods you find them in, and what time cycle you find them in, and how their interface with the body, what they're now called.
How rubidium knocks out dinosaurs and things like that.
You have to look at one thing about food. Your organs are set up to have a ascending and descending function within the 24 hours. So certain foods tend to contribute to the problem, but certain foods tend to sedate the problem. And then the foods that will correct the problem also have to be identified, and the time of day for them. So you get more control of your health instead of mercy. But toxicity is such a funny phenomenon. Because it took 30 years to mop up the body, it takes a while to heal that body, to be in rhythm and harmony. So until you clean up, you really don't have a health. You're constantly sedating it or contributing to it. And the young lady that was here, she said the program is on Monday. Oh, by the way, question is, when do we leave? Tuesday night or Wednesday? Because that's what Margie was calling to find out when the world kept us together.
We're
on
a class, I have two classes Tuesday night.
We can leave late.
We can leave late. I get done.
I drive all night.
You're going to stop in Bakersfield, right?
Bakersfield?
Yeah.
So if you leave late and share the driving, it can be earlier than during the day Wednesday at Bakersfield. And then towards Wednesday, it could be. Sometimes.
Are you visiting someone in Bakersfield?
I have some folks who can visit.
Okay. We could even tell them we're coming at some outrageous hour in one time. Amen.